Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
4 meters, Tango Tara without the shadow roll tonight in the blue with the white check sash, red and white striped sleeves, and 5 meters to Triple Eight. 28.1 third quarter. I'd say they've probably got a breather mid race. Jillaby Jack Sparrow, La Captain. La Captain puts it to Jillaby Jack Sparrow. Rory Villa waits a run. Delvey Robin with the shadow roll winding up. The white bridle, the better day on the pegs. And delightful major Tango Tara, Triple Eight. La Captain up to Jillaby Jack Sparrow. Here's Roryville though, and also Delvey Robin. It's Roryville taking the lead. Roryville's in front. Roryville wins it. Roryville a metre, Delvey Robin, 2 metres, Tango Tara third, and Triple Eight fourth, a metre and a half away. I think it knows in front of La Captain.
Roryville takes out the Melton City Much More Stampede over 1,200 metres for David Moran and Nathan Jack. It was a very quiet drive, sitting leaders back and just out-sprinted them up the lane. It was one of those races where the speed map played out exactly how you expected it to, with Jillaby Jack Sparrow going to the front, with La Captain sitting in the death seat, and you know the horses like Triple Eight having to go out the back with Tango Tara and try to make their run into it. It's extremely hard over the 1,200 metres to make that sort of ground, but they did get home extremely well from the back. Jillaby Jack Sparrow was disappointing. This is his wheelhouse. He loves these 1,200 metre races. He found the front fairly comfortably, but just didn't find much up the straight. He's been doing a fair bit of racing of late in some cups and whatnot, so maybe he's just found a little bit tired, but they went a gross time of 122.4. The first quarter run was 27.2, which is not overly fast. You generally find when they run that sort of time that the leaders can win, especially when the next quarter was in 28.1. And they got home in 27.2, but as I said, the leaders just couldn't find. Roryville, as I said, just getting that cold sit on the leaders' back and out-sprinting them up the straight, taking the win by a neck over Delvey Robin, who just loves these 1,200 metre races. It got home absolutely super, as it does week in, week out. Tango Tara came from well back to flash through to get beaten just 2.9 metres in third. Like Captain, sitting in the breeze, got beaten 4.2 metres, and Triple Eight down the outside, just 4.3 metres away in fifth, and Better Day also right there at 5.7 metres away. It was a great finish to the 1,200 metre Stampede, Bronte.
Yeah, it was a great finish and a great drive of Nathan Jerks. I was listening to the post-race interview, and I believe he made the decision to pull out wide instead of waiting for the sprint lane because the horse can get on a knee, and just shows how well he knows the horses that he drives, Nathan, at making the best moves to make the horses feel the most comfortable, and it did end up being the winning move. He probably would have lost a bit of momentum if he stayed behind the tiring Jillaby Jack Sparrow. And going into the race, I know the horse was an outsider, but I didn't have Roryville, so it was a really pleasant surprise to see how well this horse did go. It seemed to be, obviously it won, but it was the horse that was hitting the line the best. Triple Eight was hitting the line as well, and I think it's going to have a nice future. It's only a four-year-old by Huntsville, and it's a very, the race just didn't go the way I expected it to be going, and sometimes it's nice to have surprises like this where you kind of get it all wrong from the speed map that you had in your head before the race. But I was pleasantly surprised. It looked like Better Day may have been a little bit uncomfortable up the sprint lane. I thought that this race would suit Better Day because it is such a brilliantly fast horse, and maybe once it gets used to the 1,200 metre racing, it will be competitive in the future in these races. But yeah, all credit to the winner. I was pleasantly surprised with how well it went. And it's not a rock and roll heaven, but it's another pretty horse with a blaze.
Yeah, well, it's got a bit of rock and roll in it because its mother is out of by World of Rock and Roll, so it does go back to a similar sort of breed. But Roryville was too good. It's amazing these 1,200 metre races can really bring I suppose the ratings around a fair bit with some very high-rated horses like Triple Eight and Tango Tara not being able to get up and beat, you know, the lower-rated horse there in Roryville, and that they certainly do make some interesting racing. But I certainly got the race wrong, and yet I got the speed map right. So that always makes it tricky when you get the speed map right and yet the race still unfolds a different way. Tell you one race where punters would have had their heart in their mouth, and that was race number 8, the Pride's Easy Feeds Pace. It was taken out by Bark. We'll listen to the concluding stages now, but with 400 metres to go, you would not have been sitting very happily with your money on Bark.
15 from the front, so about to sprint to the line. John McLean by a half head. Second, the outside, Whiskey Cavalier. 3 metres, Springfield Affair. A metre, Montana Flash, 1-1. Bark tanking on the inside, but nowhere to go. Diamond Eclipse, fall back the pegs. Down the centre, Magnetic Terror moves up around, hit the Rojack. 27.5, third quarter, they're flying now. Favourite still three back the inside. Going to go for the sprint lane, but has a few lengths to find, and they're running. John McLean, Springfield Affair. Bark comes through. Then came Whiskey Cavalier. John McLean, Springfield Affair. Bark is coming home at the rate of knots, and he's going to get himself out of trouble. Well, what a good horse. Bark wins. Ahead, Springfield Affair. 2 metres, John McLean. 10 away, Montana Flash, 4th.
And Bark getting up the sprint lane from 3 pegs to get the win at $1.65 over Springfield Affair, who led and very cleverly handed up to John McLean to put the favourite 3 back the fence to hopefully just make it too tricky for him. It got beat by just half a neck at a $7.50 pot. John McLean, who got the front and had a nice easy run of it out in the lead with no mid-race pressure, it got beaten into third by 2.1 metres, and Montana Flash, who sat 1-1, 10.3 metres away from Whiskey Cavalier, who had to do the work sitting in the desk seat. They went a mile rate of 156.3. The lead time wasn't overly quick in 46.2. Springfield Affair led from barrier 1. Bark drew 1 on the second row, and Chris Alford was happy to punch through and hold his back, and I suppose hope that Glenn Craven held the front. But Glenn said nope, happily handed up to Alan Tormey, and that's where they went the first quarter in 31.1, 29.5, the third quarter 27.6, home in 27.5. And as I said, if you're on Bark going down the back straight, you would not have been feeling very comfortable. But once he dashed up the sprint lane, he was just far too quick, ripping home his own last quarter in 26.88, Bronte.
Yeah, that was so exciting, and I was so happy for the connections, Kyle and Sophie. They do such a great job with their horses, and for them to get another Saturday night winner, that's really fantastic for them after making the move last year from New Zealand and making their mark here in Melbourne. But yeah, a fantastic win, and it reminded me a bit of Call Me, the horse that raced earlier on in the night, Dummy Up Fancy. That's it, the winning from 3 fence. You don't see that often at Melton, when horses genuinely come from 3 fence up the sprint lane and can out-sprint the horses in front of them. And Buck, the winner, he does have an interesting look to him. When horses let down that fast, usually they put their head down and they stretch out a lot, but it's interesting watching a horse move that fast with his head up. It's fast, it's very cute, that's for sure. But yeah, the horse went super. I really am excited to see how this horse goes. I feel like, being a New Zealand horse, he's probably quite familiar with, you know, all different tracks and sizes. And I'm interested to see how this horse will go in the country cups, if that's where they do target him, because he seems like quite a versatile horse.
Yeah, I'm sure he will certainly do that, and he's going through his grades very nicely. Bark, we've still got a few minutes up our hands, so we might cover race 9 at Melton, and we'll finish off the Melton program before we do go off to the 12:30 news. So race 9 was a dynamic print group pace, and it was taken out by Skinny Dip, for Wayne Potter and Nathan Jack.
Menace from 3 back, the running line comes 3 deep, tracked by Layden, 4 back the inside, Sly Terror, 5 back the pegs, Monomia, and then Mirakuru, Captain Wilson in the death, dropping out. Third quarter 27.9, Ferris Road side of the track, last time Skinny Dip 3 metres in front, but he's flat. Illawong Awesome to the outer, 3 deep LB 2 chains, 4 deep Clemenis, and running up behind them Layden. He needs to lift Skinny Dip, still 2 metres, but flat out Illawong Awesome on the outside, LB 2 chains, then Sly Terror and Monomia. Skinny Dip just in front. Kenny hold on, last favourite, gets in by the skin of his teeth. Skinny Dip just half ahead, second in the centre, maybe Illawong Awesome, a nose in front of LB 2 chains, 3 metres, Slide Terror fourth, then Monomia.
Skinny Dip taking out the Dynamic Print Group Pace for Wayne Potter and Nathan Jack, sent out a $2.40 favourite. Found the front very comfortably off Illawong Awesome, so he sat leaders back and ran second, beaten just a half a neck. Well, dead heated for second, actually. LB Two Chains dead heated for second for Zach Phillips and Taylor Nicholson as well. A half neck away from three fence. Sly Terror slipped home from well back, only beaten 3.7 metres. Monomia into fifth place, beaten 4.6, and it's not very often you have two dead heats in one race, Bronte, but Illawong Awesome and LB Two Chains dead heated for second, and Mirakuru and Clymenis dead heated for seventh place. So that was a little bit of an interesting come out of that race, but they ran a mile rate of 153.5. they ran a lead time of 7.0, first quarter in 28, 30.1, 28, and 28.2. Nathan just rated this horse to literal perfection to be able to get up and win by half neck, just holding on right on the line.
Yeah, I believe the first five horses in this race did come from the fence, which just shows the way that Nathan did rate the race. It was hard to run him down and come from wide on the track, and I'm sure you felt that yourself, Steve, being one of the people that were right wide on the track. Your horse went awesome, and I don't think you can add your own horse to your black book, can you? But Layden went well as well. If we're just looking at sectionals in this race, it's one of the horses to watch, and I thought that Layden probably is the sort of horse that may have been able to contest the front, but then it probably wouldn't have been there at the finish. It seems to be a horse that they like to save early, so that gave Skinny Dip a good easy find of the front, and yeah, he just managed to hold on. It was a great drive, and Nathan Jack made it too hard, I guess, for any of the other horses racing wide to get into the race.
Yeah, it was very hard to race wide, and the meeting was pretty much that nearly all night. It was just a pegs dominated night. So many of these races that's how the races were run. When you look through the sectionals, and even just going back, like you mentioned, my horse Mirakuru, I was happy with his run. There wasn't much we could do, you know, back there. He still ran 55.7 his last half, 154.7 his last mile. You know, that's nearly, it's the fourth fastest time of the race, and yet we've run seventh. So, you know, it's just one of those races. I think if you went through that field, you could back any of the horses in this race, maybe other than Captain Wilson, but then it's not a death seater either. But pretty much any other horse in this race, I wouldn't be surprised if it came out and won with a little bit more luck at their next start. So it's one of these races, I think, where it's going to be, you know, a lot of form will come out of it, and it really just comes down to barrier draw as to then how the race plays out.
Yeah, if you just randomly jumbled the race and you put the horses, I think, in all different the same positions but different horses, I think you would have the similar outcome of the horse in front probably would have won, and the four horses behind it on the fence probably would have been the place getters no matter what horses were in those positions. Like you said, it was a very even race. The standout, like I said, sectionally was Layden, but it was hard for it to get into the race as well. And yeah, Skinny Dip, Wayne Potter's team is going so good at the moment, and they had quite a few good runners earlier on the night. The horse that I think if there was one horse that could have almost made it to your black book, it could have been Spyglass in the first race. So their team is going quite well at the moment.
Yeah, it certainly is. And they finished off the night with a bang, and it was a great finish too, with so many horses finishing, you know, like the top five. There was literally a length between them, so it was a terrific way to finish off what was a great night of racing at Melton. And as I said, the main race there was taken out by the Lost Storm, but that being the City of Melton Plate. It's a good horses race. Plenty, if you go back through the honour roll, there's been plenty of superstars have come out of this, and the Lost Storm has put his name on that honour roll now. So be watching him going forward.